Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. You've probably already entered a username and password at least once or twice today.
Maybe even forgotten a password and had to reset one.
They are the backbone of computer security, and yet, after the recent Heartbleed security bug was discovered just about a month ago, they all seem pretty weak and vulnerable.
The computer security password was invented at MIT back in 1961. But after more than a half century of use, some people are looking for a replacement.
Hiawatha Bray joins us now to talk more about the future of the password and some possible alternatives. He writes frequently about technology for the business section of the Boston Globe and joins us frequently to talk about technology, including today. Hi, Hiawatha.
Hi there.
Okay, first of all, what was, again, the Heartbleed bug and why did it shake us up so much?
Well, the Heartbleed bug isn't directly involved with passwords. It's basically involved with everything. It was a bug that was accidentally inserted into server software about 2 years ago. It's the software on servers that's supposed to encrypt everything so you can put your credit card number or your password out there on the internet and nobody will get it. Turns out it was possible to get it. Apparently even the National Security Agency of the U.S. government knew this and could use it as a way of spying on people.
Oops.
Well, there you go. Now, companies all over the world are patching the software and fixing the problem. But for 2 years, people who knew how to do this could have been collecting all your passwords, your credit card numbers, blah, blah, blah. So the idea is that everybody in the world has been warned, if you use the internet frequently, change your passwords. At least change all the passwords for anything that really matters.
To what?
Like, you know,
what's
your
the perfect
bank.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. That's important.
I was just going to say your bank account numbers, your credit card numbers, your social networks, all the things that matter. I'm on a bunch of little trivial accounts, like for video sites, where I don't even care if somebody steals that password. So that's different. But the ones that really matter, yeah, change them.
And for the ones that really matter, what's the perfect password? And don't give
it. Well, that's the problem. The perfect password is ones you can't possibly remember.
Yeah.
They're impossible to remember. I have a bunch of perfect passwords, though, because I don't try to remember them. I use a software, and there are a bunch of different kinds of software like this out there. The one I use is called LastPass, but there are a bunch of others that you can find. They are online services. They store your passwords in the cloud, and they also have a little feature where when you go to a site and it says set a password, you can click a button and it will automatically generate the worst password you ever saw.
And then you Something have to like, go to it every time that you want to go to, say, your bank account?
Well, actually, for example, if you're using it on your computer and you have the app, what you do is you have a plugin inside your browser, and as soon as you go to your bank, it sees you're in the bank and the plugin for LastPass puts in your password for you. Bang, just like that. It's very convenient. But like if you're at work, you want to not be logged into LastPass all the time because somebody could walk by your desk and get into all your passwords. So you want to have it set up so you have to log into LastPass. That's the other problem with it. Even if you put all your passwords in one of these online vaults, you still have to remember the password to that online vault. And if you lose it, you could be in trouble because the best of these companies will not let you recover your password. They are trying to protect you. If you lose your password, that's it. You're locked out.
Yeah, but given the Heartbleed bug and others, doesn't it make you nervous to have your passwords all stored online?
Tell me about it. That is the other downside of it. They claim, and it may be true, that they encrypt all the passwords that they store so that even if somebody broke in, they wouldn't be able to use them. But as we have learned from the Heartbleed bug, if somebody wrote the encryption code badly, there'd be a way that somebody could sneak into LastPass and steal everybody's password. You're absolutely right. That's the central problem. There is no perfect solution. Anything you do, there's a countermeasure that could be used to defeat it.
Okay, so you've come up with
perfect.
But you've come up with a couple things that might be good alternatives. And one of them is the two-factor authentication. What is that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is an old idea. It's not new at all. You know about RSA Security in Bedford? They helped invent it. They have these little key fobs that they give you, and every 30 seconds, a new six-digit number appears on that key fob. It's never the same number twice. And when you use certain companies will let you log in using this system. You put in a username, you put in a password, and then you put in this six-digit number, which is always changing. You use, in effect, three things to let you get in. You have a username and, in effect, two passwords. That's two-factor authentication. Many businesses do not use it. It's amazing. Amazon.com doesn't use it. I bank with Bank of America. They use it, so I can use that if I want to. With Bank of America, you can set it up so that when you log into your bank, you can also tell, you can tell it, I want two-factor. When you try to log in, your phone gets a text message with an extra number that you have to type in. If you don't type it in, they won't let you log in. You can set it up to do it that way. But with Amazon.com, they don't have it.
Okay.
So if you want to do two-factor, it's much more secure, but most people don't want to do the work, and most companies don't even offer it as an option.
Hiawatha Bray writes about technology for the Boston Globe. Thank you very much, Hiawatha.
Oh, shoot, I was just getting warmed up.
Next time. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.